This session is titled Farming with a Jack Pencil. And so when we were putting it together, we were thinking there's a fair bit that a person can do in advance of getting into a venture that would help them make sure that venture is not just a huge money pit. So we were approaching this with the financial approach in mind, thinking that when you plan a venture, there's a lot that you can do, whether it's on the production side, thinking through all of the production hurdles that need to be mounted, some of the financial side, whether it's actually going to pencil out to make profit in the end, or what kind of what the upfront costs are going to be, or what the back-end profit is going to be, let alone where that financing source might come from, no matter how big or small the venture is going to be. Is it going to be the credit card, or is it going to be a line of credit, or is it going to be some sort of larger loan? So when we were thinking about farming with a sharp pencil, we were trying to think about tying those things together and help people get prepared for that essential element that should be planning, which unfortunately, from experience, doesn't often get as well done as we'd like it to be. Sometimes we come up with an idea and there's a lot going on and we don't put as much effort into the planning as we would have liked just because our time horizon is so short, or just because we're just busy or for whatever reason it may be. And so that's why we wanted to that's what motivated us to do this session, so that we could get people more prepared to make money being the motivator, but it could be whatever else, from the get-go. And so with that, we've got our one of UW's UW Cooperative Extension Services, county or area educators, who works with farm financial management and ag operation management, to talk about lessons that he's learned and things that would be of use to you in your operations, whether it's you personally or even with people that you work. And so with that, let me introduce and transfer the class over to Dallas Mountain. And I should say that Dallas is not from far away, he's just from Wheatland. So he's familiar with this area, but he's familiar with ag in general. So if you're not directly from this area, he's got expertise that will be of use to you. So with that, Dallas Mountain. All right.
You'll see if you want to applaud after I'm done or not. We'll try that. Perhaps an advantage I have in teaching this session is I am not an economist. I'm not a finance guy. I don't have that background, and hopefully that helps me to be able to communicate these concepts a little more clearly. I hoped you would be, Cole. That was part of the idea. My background in this is from working with ranchers. I teach a ranch management school that we've been doing for about 4 years now. It's based actually out of the Sustainable Ag Research Center that you guys are going to tour this afternoon. And in doing that, we've worked with some of the best livestock economists around. Harlan Hughes, the gentleman and I were visiting about some of the work he'd done earlier. He'd worked with us in the beginning of this. He's now retired and kind of phasing himself out. He still stays fairly involved with us. But what we've done in this ranch management school is every participant that we've had so far is willing to share their financial information with us, their ranch financials with us. And we sit down with folks individually and do a whole ranch financial analysis with these folks. And then we benchmark them into a data set. We share that data set. It's available on the internet as well. And then we challenge ranchers in ways to increase their profitability of their ranches. So most of the information I'm going to share with you today is things that I've learned by going through those processes with dozens of ranchers over the course of those several years, and really what seems to separate the more profitable ranchers from those folks that maybe are never going to make a profit, or maybe those folks that some years do a little bit and some years don't do so well. So that's where the information I'm going to come from with this today. And some of the things I'm going to share with you also I've stolen from some of the other good presenters I've seen. Dave Pratt is a gentleman that teaches a ranching for profit school, and I think does an excellent job of breaking down ranch financials and farm financials. This is, I say ranch, but it can go across the borders to farming or whatever you want to apply it to. It does a great job in breaking these down. So I want to give credit to where credit's due. All right, let's jump into this. I've got some PowerPoint slides to go through, and we don't have to stick to that. If you guys have questions, let's get those answered. We're going to do some economics 101 over here too, but let's kind of tune this to where you guys want it to go. So in looking at the businesses that I've helped folks analyze, I've kind of stepped back, and for a one-hour talk, we can't go through how to do a farm financial analysis. But here are some keys that I've been able to pull out as to what separates those folks that tend to be high profit producers from those folks that aren't. And so I want to challenge you today with these four ideas, okay? The first is a profit center approach. When you look at your operation, you've got a lot of things going on there. So which of those things is paying the bills, and which of those things are you subsidizing with the other things, okay? And to be honest, most ranchers don't know. Most producers probably don't know, okay? Maybe they do some years, they say, oh, my corn really did well this year, and I know I lost money on my barley, okay? Maybe they don't. For ranches, and we've got haying operations, stocker operations, cow-calf operations, it's very hard to tell which of those is actually paying the bills and which one isn't. So that's number one, and we're going to spend some time talking about this profit center approach and how you might do that on your own ranch or farm. Okay, optimize use of fixed costs. And I noticed Joel Salatin hitting on this hard yesterday. Hopefully you guys got the same idea, okay? If we've got a fixed cost, whether that's the land resource, whether that's a labor resource ourselves, okay? If we're gonna pay ourselves $30,000 a year, and no matter how hard we work, then we wanna optimize the use of that fixed cost, okay? So that's a key there, and we'll spend some time talking about that. Low overhead, okay? What is overhead? Give me an example of an overhead. What's that? Electricity bill, okay? What's another overhead?
Taxes,
land taxes. Absolutely, okay?
Cost of feeding cows.
Okay, cost of feeding cows. Maybe the cost of that tractor you bought to feed the cows. Maybe not the cost of that hay, but the cost of equipment, inventory, or things like that to feed the cows. So, absolutely. So the ranches that are profitable have low overhead. We'll give some examples of that. And then this number four I added in here, aggressive management. There's a big difference between an aggressive manager and somebody that's just going along doing what we've always done, because it's easier that way, okay? So that, to me, is probably the biggest one that separates the profitable producers from the non-profitable ones, or folks that are really aggressively managing this ranch. Now, that doesn't mean buying everything that they have to sell, every gizmo and whirligig to try to get the most pounds or bushels or whatever it is. That's not aggressive management. Aggressive management is doing this stuff that we're doing today, okay, and really taking this home and sitting and making some time to do this. That's aggressive management. All right, let's spend some time talking about these. Here's the profit center approach, okay? So if we've got a ranch, and this will be an example Wyoming ranch, because that's what I'm most familiar with, but if you've got a farm, you can think about this in your own mind and what your profit centers are, okay? Here's one I want to challenge you with today, is the idea that that ranch has a land business. Before we do anything else on that ranch, if we didn't own any cows, if we never put up a bale of hay, if we didn't have any stocker cattle on that ranch, we've got a business before we do anything else. Okay? And in my personal life, I've got a land business. I don't own any cattle. Okay? So what you think about in this land business is, if I cash lease this ranch, if I cash lease this farm, what type of income could I have? And then what expenses does that land business have before anything else happens? Land taxes. Okay? We're going to pay taxes on that place. We've probably got some overhead in terms of buildings, pipelines. We've probably got some utilities that land business should be responsible for paying. Okay? So that's a big... Now here's where you might get a little uncomfortable. We're going to charge these other businesses for use of that resource. If we choose to have a cow herd, shouldn't that cow herd be able to pay cash lease for grazing rights to that land business? Okay. Let's say this land business could cash lease for $10,000 a year. Okay. Shouldn't our cow herd be able to pay $10,000 a year for use of that land business? If it can't, then we're subsidizing that cow herd with our land business. Okay. Maybe that's what we want to do. Fine, but just know that that cow herd is being subsidized by that land business. Same thing with our haying business. Okay. Maybe this is all we've got is cow, calf, hay, and land. We put up hay, we feed it to our cows, we have cows, we sell those calves at weaning. Shouldn't that cow herd be able to pay cash market price for that hay that we're feeding it? Okay, if it costs us $40 a ton to put up hay, And I'll tell you right now, you probably can't put up hay for $40 a ton. If it costs you $40 a ton to put up hay, and in our figuring, we charge out that cow-calf business $40 a ton, when we can turn around and sell that hay for $100 a ton on the open market, is that fair to that hay business? I'm going to propose to you that that cow-calf business should pay market value for that hay. If it can't pay market price for that hay, why are we doing cow-calf? Maybe we should be selling hay. Okay? And vice versa, if that hay business, if we're paying market price for that hay, and that hay business is a losing money enterprise, why are we putting up hay? Okay? So there are some of the tough questions that you can get to by breaking your business down into a profit center analysis and looking at it that way. I'm going to run through a quick example of this just to prove the point further. Here's a land business, and this is a real ranch, okay? This ranch has offered to let me share their numbers, okay? Some production costs, some overhead, some total costs, some gross income of that land business. So this land business produces, they could cash lease this land business for $75,000 a year, okay? Walk away from the ranch, somebody would come in and cash lease that ranch. But here's the expenses that go into that land business that rancher said, I would do these things anyway. I'd be responsible for paying these bills, I'd fix up the house, I'd fix up the corrals, I'd pay my land taxes, okay? So that land business should be able to net $20,000 before anything else happens on that. Okay, now we're gonna throw in a cow-calf business, and there's a lot of numbers here, don't get caught up in it. It's about a 400 head cow herd. At the end of the day, this cow-calf business only netted about $5,000 that year, okay? We paid for use of that land in this cow-calf business, so it generated that at essentially $75,000 cash payment, okay, with the share of the land that it used for that land business, okay? And then here's a stocker business, so this ranch keeps its heifer calves, runs those heifer calves over the following year, so there's a stocker business on top of that. Stocker business did pretty decent, okay, made a couple thousand dollars. But here's the hay business, okay? We've got an inventory of equipment, some overhead here. The annual payments to that overhead are gonna be about $31,000. We've got some production costs of putting up that hay. We're buying that forage from the land business, putting it into a bale of hay. It costs them some fuel and twine and all those things to do that. And then we've got a bale of hay, and we're gonna value that bale of hay at $90 a ton, okay? This is a scary figure. Yeah, Sharon?
Figuring in labor costs?
Not labor costs. We've got not family labor. We've got some hired labor, outside labor, that goes to the hay business, and yeah, we're counting that. We're not counting family labor. So then this hay business, it costs us $100 to put that hay in a bale. Okay? So this hay business is losing about $40,000 a year. That rancher didn't know that until we broke that out into this type of analysis, okay? So at the end of the day, here's what it looks like. We've got a land business that returns about $20,000, a cow-calf business that returns about $5,000, a stocker business about $3,000, and a hay business that's a losing enterprise this year significantly. So at the end of the year, we lost about $11,000 doing this, okay? We didn't know that until we broke this out. Okay. If I sat down with this rancher and I said, what's the problem? What's going on? That cow-calf business would have jumped out as something going on with my cow-calf, because that's the majority of what I do. I need to address that. Okay. Now, we need to be careful here. This is a one-year analysis. Okay. We don't go out and sell all of our hay and machinery with just one-year analysis. Okay. If this were a five-year average and we didn't see things changing, absolutely, we do something to address this losing enterprise. The point I want you to get is we need to be able to break those businesses apart, assign overheads to those businesses, assign direct costs to those businesses, and look at what that business is contributing to our bottom line. Okay? If we're able to do that, then we're able to be much more efficient managers at saying, what do we need to stop doing? What do we need to get better at doing? And recognize what's paying the bills, maybe what we're doing really good at. Okay? And be able to see those things on our farms and ranches. Questions about this before we move on? Okay. It's a big task. I know it's not easy, and me flopping a bunch of numbers up here is not going to enable you to do this on your own unless you've got some comfort with this. But there are people that can help you do this. Yeah?
Can you give an on a sense of, you know, how long it takes to do this. You know, I've done it with, you know, 6,000 head cattle ranches, and it takes a year. You know, but you can do it in a month, right? You can, if you've got some experience, maybe you can share with people.
The first time you do this task, it's tough. And you need to have somebody you can call that said, when you come across that number, I've got this number here, and maybe it's my life insurance policy. Okay, where do I put it? Because those are the kind of questions you come upon. So the first time you do it, it's difficult, and you need to have some help doing it. After you do it once, boy, you just, for me, it's all an Excel spreadsheet for every ranch I work with. We just open up that ranch, and we say, okay, what's changed? What was our feed cost this year? What was our this? And we can do a whole ranch in a matter of 2 hours. Once we've got it done once, okay? But that first time is a difficult thing to get all those numbers together. But that's what I'm talking about, aggressive management, spending that time to do it. It's a heck of a lot easier to say, let's just go fire up the feed truck. I'm just going to go sit in the track. Okay? It's a heck of a lot harder to sit down and pull these things out. Good point. Thanks. All right. So let's go through some things. Optimized use of fixed costs, okay? There's another thing. In a ranch, one of those fixed costs is the land, okay? We looked at what that land business is worth, is valued at. Here's a statement that would be a way of optimizing use of those fixed costs on a ranch business. I want to stock as closely to maximum as possible, okay? Now, if you're a range guy, you're probably getting a little uncomfortable. I'm a range guy, okay? And that statement makes me a little uncomfortable. But here's my qualifier as to the sustainable carrying capacity, okay? I want that ranch fully stocked, or I'm not decreasing the quality of that rangeland. Okay? If I'm not fully stocked, then I'm leaving money on the table. That's a fixed cost. Okay? If I'm the owner of that ranch, it's a fixed cost to me to own that ranch. I've got a land lease payment I'm going to make. That's a fixed cost to me. Okay? If you're leasing by the animal unit month, it's not a fixed cost. It's a direct cost per unit. But most people, that land business is a fixed cost. Okay? So I'm going to optimize the use of that. We can look at improving forage production through grazing management practices. Okay? Joel Salatin talked about use of management-intensive grazing, some of these mob grazing kind of things. If there's ways we can do that are cost-effective, running some fence, developing some water systems, where we're going to increase the carrying capacity of that ranch through some improvements, great. Okay? We're going to increase the use of that fixed cost. If you think about what Joel said yesterday, a lot of his comments were based upon that. We'll skip this for now. I just went through. Okay, low overhead. It kind of goes along the same thing as increasing use of those fixed costs, okay? But what I want to share with you, of the ranches that I've analyzed in my data set, the high profit ranches had an overhead of about $22 per cow. And overhead here is machinery inventory, annual repairs on machinery, building inventory, any kind of annual repairs on that building, all those kind of things. So a cow herd really can't pay a whole lot for an arsenal of tractors. Okay? That's what that's telling us. Everybody else in that data set, besides these high profit guys, had an overhead that was just about double. Yeah?
Do you include rent to the land company in that overhead calculation?
No. We look at, with most ranches I analyze, we look at the land payment based upon a unit basis. So every time you graze a cow a month, it's going to be $20 a month for that cow.
Fixed cost is what you're talking about. Right?
Overhead? Yes. Yeah. Overhead and fixed cost are pretty much interchangeable. You got it. Okay. So keeping that overhead low, keeping those fixed costs low. Production is important. Okay, if you're raising bushels of corn, if you're raising pounds of calf, I don't want to say that's not important. Okay, I've been hammering on costs all day. Okay, the other side of that equation is production. But if we looked at our high profit ranches versus our everybody else, the high profit ranches were not the most productive ranches. Okay, these weren't the guys weaning the 600, 700, 800 pound calves. Okay, in fact, my highest profit ranch that I've ever analyzed weans a 375 pound calf, but he does it on extremely low costs, okay? So, but I want to emphasize production is important. We can't have cows that only 60% of them are getting pregnant if our costs are right along with everybody else. It won't work that way. So production is important as well.
You're depreciating the cows in the fixed cost?
Most of the cow-calf herds we analyze, we work in heifer development costs in there, so it's a perpetual herd. But if we did buy a bunch of cows and we weren't going to do any heifer development, that bunch of cows would depreciate.
So the heifer development costs are in as fixed costs?
The heifer development costs are in as fixed costs, yeah. Okay, so there's the four things I wanted to hit on with you this morning. Those are the things in my experience that have separated the profitable producers from those that aren't so profitable. Now I want to shift gears a little bit and do some economics 101 and maybe give you guys a way of thinking about a ranch financial structure or a farm business financial structure that we can get at. So before we shift gears, any questions or comments on these particular things or statements I've made or things along those lines? Okay, again, I want to give credit where credit's due. This next bit comes directly out of Dave Pratt and his Ranching for Profit School. And I think it's a neat way of thinking about a ranch financial analysis. And what he essentially says, there's three ways to increase profit on the ranch. Okay, so let's get at those three ways. There's one of three things we have to do if we want to make more money. So we're going to get at those three things. Okay, on the left side of this axis, we've got dollars. And down here we've got units. Okay, and this will hopefully make sense as we go along. Now we've talked about fixed costs and overheads. Okay, so what is a fixed cost or an overhead? Is it something that if we increase our cow herd by one unit, are our fixed costs and overheads going to go up by one unit?
No.
Right. Okay. Our fixed costs are pretty much a baseline. Okay. So we're going to pay. In this example, that land base was worth $75,000. And we're thinking about this from a whole ranch analysis. Okay, we're breaking away a little bit from that enterprise analysis, although this could be done on that level. Okay, so we're going to pay that for the land business. We're going to pay ourselves $30,000 a year management fee. Okay, whatever that is, those are going to be our overheads. So as we increase units, the overhead costs stay the same. Okay, so there's our overheads. Now let's go to the direct costs. Okay, those things like feed, like a ton of hay, like a veterinary bill. If you're a farmer, whatever those things are, seed of corn, a unit of fertilizer. Okay, for every unit we increase, those direct costs are going to increase a respective unit. Okay, so they're going to start here because we've already got our fixed costs, and they're going to start going up. So we add one more unit, we add one more unit, we add one more unit. So on and so forth. So that is a linear relationship, okay? So here are our direct costs. So let's label these. Overheads and direct costs. Okay, we fair? So if we have this many units, our cost is right up here. Our overheads plus our direct costs. All right, so now let's make some money, shall we? So we're gonna have one cow, all right? And that cow's gonna produce one calf. And we're gonna sell that calf for this much. One cow, one calf. Now we're gonna double it. Two cows, two calves, okay? So we've got some income coming in here. With me? So we're gonna go right on up the line here. Okay? So there we are. There's our diagram. Pretty simple. That tells us everything we need to know to make more money on this ranch, right? Okay, so what's happening right here? This point right here. I'll just draw a line straight down. Bingo. What do we call that in this business?
Break-evens.
Okay, there's our break-even. We've paid for our overheads, and we've paid for our direct costs. Okay? So what's happening down here?
No more ranching business.
Good point. What are we doing? We're losing money, you bet. Okay? So down here is loss. And up here is profit. Alright. Here we go. Okay, pink line is gross product. gross product, gross return, okay? For every unit we increase that, we increase our gross return by one unit, okay? That units times price, okay? Whatever that is, so we're getting, for every unit we increase, we can increase one more. Okay, so as we look at this chart, let me take it off here now and we'll... get this. We'll put this right here so you guys can study that. Three ways to increase profits. What are they? Okay, let's... what about this line right here? What can we do? What's that line? Lower our overheads. Everybody hear that? So if we took that line, our overheads, our fixed costs on that ranch, and we pulled that line down, okay, this direct cost line would follow it. We'd pull that line down as well. If our gross product stayed the same, if that line didn't shift, okay, this is a perfect world here now, we're into theory, okay, then you, can you see how that relationship would change? Can you see how there'd be, at a given unit, there'd be more opportunity for profit by pulling that overhead down? Okay, so three ways to increase profit. Number one, reduce overhead. Okay, everybody clear on that one? All right, what's another way to increase profit on this ranch? Add more units. Okay? As we move further on this line here, we're into bigger profits, aren't we? Now there's a caveat there, isn't there? Each unit has to be what? Has to be profitable. Each unit has to be profitable before adding more units increases profit. Okay? The saying in the business is get better before you get bigger. Okay? It's too often the temptation to say, if we just had 100 more cows, we could make some money on this place. Because what happens when you have 100 more cows, especially if your direct costs are the problem, if you're losing money on 300, you're just going to lose more money on 400. Okay? If that relationship isn't right. So you have to know which of these things is the problem before you start adding more units. But you're absolutely right. Adding more units, if it's profitable, will work. So we call this, and this is number three in the list, increased turnover. Okay? Increased turnover, add more units. All right. What else could we change on this? Direct costs. Okay? If we lowered that direct cost line, lowered the slope of that line, shift that line like this, how would that whole chart change? Okay? What would our break even do? Where would it move? It'd move this way, wouldn't it? Because we shifted that line down. Let's just sketch one on here, okay? We lowered that direct cost line. Look, now our break even's down here. Now look at the margin for profit as we go up and increase units. Okay? Increase direct cost. Another way to shift that. Let's shift this other line up, okay? Those two are essentially doing the same thing. It's improving our margin, isn't it? Okay? We're improving our margin as we shift those two apart, okay? So the way, increase gross margin per unit. Increase gross margin per unit, okay? Three ways to increase cost of that business. Questions on that? Things that aren't clear on that. So what you need to do is take this chart home, draw it out on your piece of paper, then think about that individual enterprise, okay? Where is my greatest opportunity to affect this, okay? If I'm that hay business that I just showed you, and I decide as a manager, I really want to stay in the hay business. The hay business is something I enjoy. It's something I think can be profitable. Then I need to sit down and look at this and say, where is my greatest opportunity to increase profit doing one of these three things? Okay? In that hay business I showed you that was losing $100 per unit, is number three an option? Not at this point. Okay? If we just expanded our haying enterprise, it probably wouldn't matter a whole lot in the situation that we're in. So what we have got really two things to look at in that hang business. We've got our overhead, and we've got our direct cost to that. Okay? And that particular example I showed you, the overhead is really the issue there. We need to start bring that overhead down, either do it with cheaper machinery, okay, or find ways to decrease that cost before it's going to start making a profit. Okay? In that cow-calf business, okay, it was just barely breaking even. Okay? Calf prices happened to be right on the break-even point. That whole business was just right about there. Okay? Feed costs are probably about $250 to $300 per head. Okay? There's an opportunity, and in most cow-calf businesses, that direct cost is really what you have the most latitude of addressing. What are ways to reduce some direct cost to this? And feed costs make up the majority of those direct costs in cow-calf businesses. So where's an opportunity to reduce some feed costs? Okay? Maybe I can gain some additional production, but boy, we've done a dang good job in this industry of working on production. Okay? In 20 years, we've increased our productivity per head 20%. We've done a dang good job of increasing productivity of those cows. Okay? We're probably starting to hit the maximum of that natural curve. So maybe productivity isn't where we should focus. Maybe it's on the cost side of that cow herd. Okay. Do those examples make sense? Starting to understand how you can think about these three ways to increase profit on the ranch, breaking down those businesses by enterprises, really doing some hard work and analyzing those. Questions, comments? Yes?
We experienced a drought, and during the drought recovery, when we had such high costs for feed and we had to reduce our numbers, is there any suggestions to get back in the playing field for profitability, you know, to start rebuilding?
Yeah. Droughts are tough things, aren't they? So in a drought, you have a couple decisions you can make. You can buy feed, or you can sell animals. Okay? Another one is you can send those animals somewhere else, which is essentially buying feed, just sending them off farm to do that.
But after you survive the drought, what's the next step?
After you survive the drought. So what you really have to ask yourselves is where are things headed? Okay, or are we going to have drought again? What's the likelihood of having it? Where are prices at now in terms of purchasing mother cows? Okay, am I at the top of that price cycle? Do I expect those prices to drop a little bit? Or are we at the bottom of that price cycle? And if I purchase, say, I retain heifer calves, and those heifer calves aren't going to be productive for two more years, in two more years, where is that price cycle going to be? Those are some questions you have to ask and wrestle with a little bit. I think probably the most important one is asking yourself, is drought going to happen again? And if so, how severe is it going to be? And am I going to be put back in this situation in another two or three years? So how can I make this ranch more flexible in terms of its stocking rate, so maybe a cow-calf herd. I told you we should stock to capacity. If we had a cow-calf herd that we stocked to capacity with, and one year we have rains like we had this year, and next year we have rains like we had in 2002, what would that cow herd be doing? Okay? We'd be going up and down with that cow herd all the time. So a cow herd is not a very flexible way to stock to capacity. So maybe there's other ways to use some of that excess forage in excess years, but not have to severely destock in other years. I haven't answered your question directly because there's not an easy answer to it. I'm trying to get you to think the bigger picture here. But you know, right now cow prices are pretty dang high. It's probably a tough time to buy cows and project having those cows be profitable if we think the cow market might slip in the next 3 to 5 years. So maybe you need to look at taking in stockers, taking in cows of other people, having them pay you cash rent for that grass that you have so you can pay that land business for what it's generating. Some of those kind of things might be. And then, like if we all knew last fall what cow prices were, there's an opportunity to restock and get down a little bit. But it's easy to look back and say, I didn't. Yep. I'm hitting myself because I didn't buy cows last fall.
Yeah. If you look at the cattle price charts, it gives you some sense of the cyclical nature of the cattle cycle. So you think that cattle prices tend to be cyclical and they tend to go in certain like 5-6 year cycles. So looking at that gives you an idea of where you ought to be in terms of buying or selling against that cycle.
Yeah. Kelly?
So you said at the beginning, the first time you do this, it's important to have somebody to ask like questions. Who would you recommend as a resource?
You know, if you guys are from Wyoming, and even if you're not, I'm sure John Hewlett would be able to answer some questions. Cole Imke, folks with the Ag Economics Department, myself, I'd be glad to take phone calls. If you're from outside the state, maybe there's extension folks within your area. Maybe there's some farm and ranch management consultants that you work with. Maybe if you've got a neighbor that's done and is good at doing it. The gentleman back here seems like he's got a pretty good handle on it. You know, it is kind of, you feel like you're naked in the church choir the first time you do it, and you're laying your finances on the table for somebody else to look at. It can be a tough thing. So maybe the neighbor is a tough thing to do. Maybe somebody 300 miles away is easier to do that with.
You mentioned ranch for profit too. That, I mean, it's got a pretty heavy cost, but that's also a good opportunity. I mean, a lot of this stuff is a week-long class, but it is, I don't know what they charge anymore, $3,000.
$2,500, yeah.
But you'd spend a week going over this type of thing.
When's the next class?
I don't know. They got a website that goes on. I'll pitch my own class. We do a High Plains Ranch Practicum School is what we teach out of here. We're right in the middle of our 2010 to 11 class. We usually go June to January. I think we'll do another class next year. And we also do one-day classes in the off years. We go around and do those in eight-hour blocks. But kind of like what we're doing today, it really just whets your appetite for it when we only spend 8 hours together. You really have to spend days with somebody doing these kind of things. Because we send you home to struggle with it, you get all frustrated, then you come back, and then we hopefully address some of those frustrations and then do some more. We do a lot of example ranches, so we throw somebody else's ranch on the table and figure out what their problems are. It's a lot easier to do that than our own. So, yeah. Anybody else had experiences with doing these kind of things, programs they found work? Well, I guess I'll leave you with this as we finish up. And again, I'm not afraid to steal good ideas, so here's another one I've stolen. Many of you are probably familiar with it, and I may not get it just exactly right. Okay. Okay. Anybody know what that is? Offhand? All right. There's four quadrants here. And this is the way you choose to spend your time, okay? Every day when you wake up, you're going to choose to put your time in one of these four quadrants. The U stands for urgency, okay? We have tasks of increasing urgency, don't we? Okay? And the I stands for importance, tasks of increasing importance, okay? So I've got a ranch, the windmill's broken, 400 cows are out in that pasture, they have no water. I better go fix that water, right? What kind of task is that? Is that an important task? Absolutely, okay. Is that an urgent task? Absolutely, okay. So we're going to address those tasks that are urgent and important very quickly, okay? There's tasks that might be urgent, but you know, when you really get down to it, they're really not all that important. But here's what I want to challenge you with, okay? This one right here. That's what we're doing today. Okay, would the ranch fall apart if you weren't at this meeting today? No. Okay. I mean, we might think we're solving the world's problems, but we're not an urgent, doing management work, doing book work, doing financial analysis is not an urgent task. If it doesn't get done next week, depending on what kind of situation you're in, it's probably not, the wheels aren't going to fall off. Okay, but is it an important task? Are these kind of things important? I think so. I hope you do too, okay? I think they're extremely important. And I would challenge you, I think all people in agriculture struggle with this. I struggle with this in my personal life. We all struggle with it. Finding time for quadrant four, for those things that are important, but not urgent.
I think one of the things that's really important is that when you start this, if you could keep your data entry, and big corporations make their living by doing this, and a ranch is the same way. Every day you do transactions, every time you do anything, if you keep that record, over time this all sorts out. And you know, yes, it's hard to get it all in the first time, But that's the critical thing. Not only getting it in and learning all of these issues, but keeping it going and doing the entry as it happens, so that you're not going back and saying, oh, this, I should have done that, but I don't quite remember what that was. You've got to do it concurrent with the time. And that moves this task to a much more urgent priority, because it keeps you current with what you're doing. So,
great comments. Absolutely. Everybody hear that? Keep that data entry going. As you do those things, write those numbers down. Write those checks down that you wrote. Categorize those things. QuickBooks, QuickBooks Pro. You can set those things up to say, hey, I just spent $1,000 on a tractor repair bill. That tractor is enterprised in these three different enterprises that way, and it's going to charge that repair bill out to those different enterprises. You can set all this up. It takes some time.
But that's the critical piece, because otherwise all the work gets wasted.
Yeah. So, and one more thing to think about is, where do we spend, where is our time spent in quadrant four? And what I ask you about that is, when do most ranchers, when do most farmers take this quadrant four? In December. What part of the day? Okay. At 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night? That's probably when it's found. Maybe that's when you're your best. Okay. I'm not my best at 9, 10 o'clock at night. Okay. I'm ready to turn the lights out. Okay. So waking up in the morning and saying, hey, today, boy, I'm feeling sharp. I'm going to hit these very important tasks right now. Okay. I think there's some peer pressure there, right? When the phone rings at 10 o'clock and you answer it in the house, hello, and it's your buddy farmer, and he thinks, ah, gotcha, you know, right? Hey, we got to get over that. You tell him, I'm doing tasks in quadrant four today. He'll think, what the hell, you went to some crazy school, right? All right. Well, I've enjoyed it. I'll stick around here and visit with anybody who wants to talk individually, but thank you for your attention. Hopefully I've given you some things to think about. It's been fun.